Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. We're on the air with the mission to equip you in life and truth because life and truth matter. In our post-truth culture of confusion, the need for Christians to be equipped with truth has never been greater. Truth equips you to live life authentically in Christ, enabling you to strive with all His energy that He so powerfully works within you. To join us on air with your question, dial 888-ASK-HANK, which translates to 888-275-4265. For more information, go online to equip.org. And now, here's Bible Answer Man host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK, numerically 888-275-4265. Our contact information on the web, equip.org, and via the mailbox, 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be going to your calls momentarily. But I want to open with an article titled Notre Dame, an Omen. It's written by the brilliant Jewish columnist and commentator Dennis Prager, who notes that Western Christianity is burning, and with it, Western civilization. The French Enlightenment, the intellectual basis of the French Revolution, sought to replace Christianity with rank secularism. God, the Bible, religion were regarded as noxious nonsense. Europeans are increasingly devoted to multiculturalism, which is a doctrine that asserts that all cultures are morally equivalent. Even worse, that protecting Western civilization is the equivalence of protecting white supremacy. As such, the two dominant forces in Europe, a liberal liberalism and illicit Islam, have combined forces to ensure an end to Christianity. It took the post-Christian ideology of secular Nazism to produce Auschwitz, just as it took post-Christian communism to produce the Gulag. For that matter, the Chinese Cultural Revolution, the Ukrainian and Cambodian genocides. But tragically, we have not heeded the lessons of history. And thus, the alleged citadels of secular reason, the universities, are the most irrational and morally confused institutions in the West. Prager concluded his town hall article in chilling fashion, and I'll make this the quote of the day. This is what Dennis Prager said. I don't know if a worker accident or a radical Muslim set fire to Notre Dame Cathedral, as they have scores of other churches around Europe. In terms of what the fire represented, however, it doesn't much matter. What matters is the omen. Europe is burning, just as Notre Dame was yesterday. With that, we'll go to our callers. First up, Joe in Richmond, Virginia. Hi, Joe.
Hey, Hank. Hey, longtime listener. Love your stuff. Just want to be as succinct as possible because I know you have other callers. But just very quickly, my mother-in-law, she went through a really nasty divorce, some abuse and things going on a few years back. And now she's essentially dating a non-Christian, and they have just been engaged. And I know Scripture talks about how they're only to marry, we as believers, she professes Christ, we are believers only to marry in the Lord. And now they got engaged, you know, my wife and I have talked to her about our reservations about the union, things of that nature, and I guess she's still going to go with it. My question is basically, and I'm just thinking of 2 Thessalonians where it says we should not give the appearance of evil, if it will be, if I should go to the wedding or not in order to at least hold the door open to it, so that I can continue to witness to my mother-in-law, or I'm afraid that if I don't go, that it could bar me from actually having that mother-in-law, son-in-law relationship, which you had. So I love her to death. I really do. She went through a lot, and I just don't want her to get hurt even further by going into this not God-ordained marriage.
Yeah. Well, look, I mean, I think you have a legitimate reason here to go to the marriage, as you have just indicated, meaning that you're not in any way, you've already talked to your mother about your feelings, but you don't want to close the door to communication. I don't think that would be a wise thing to do. Now, there are people on both sides of this issue, Christians, who would say, no, you absolutely shouldn't attend the wedding. And I would disagree. I think that you want to keep the doorway open. You're not performing the ceremony. You've already expressed your opinion to your mother. So I don't think that I would, create the separation that comes from not attending the wedding. Now, I would be very, very clear with my mother so that there's no possible obfuscation of truth. The Bible is very clear about this. So this is not just your opinion. This is the God-breathed, Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures that say, do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? Or what fellowship can light have with darkness? What harmony is there between Christ and Satan? What does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? So if you're unequally yoked, what's going to happen is the cart is not going to be pulled forward in the same direction, rather in opposite directions, which, of course, destroys the cart. And in the metaphor, the cart would be the marriage. So if she has definitely communicated her love for Jesus Christ, and she's marrying someone who does not have a love for Jesus Christ, you're just going to end up with tragedy. And, maybe you'll be there to pick up the pieces for your mother.
Yeah, and I think that's because I even told her, my wife and I both told her, saying that we know you were alone in your last marriage, and we don't want you to be alone in this one, too. And we just want to, at least just let her know that, not saying if it happens, but when it does happen, that things break down, we want to be available to show her, the love that Christ shows us and the gospel truth and the message therein. So I really appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You got it, Joe. Thank you for your call. Dawn in Winter Springs, Florida, listening on the web. Hi, Dawn.
Hi, Hank. Thank you so much for taking my call. First, I want to say that I love you truly with all of my heart and soul. You've blessed my life since I was 17, and I'm 42, and
oh, wow.
You are just dear to my whole entire being, and I am praying for you unceasingly. You and your family, please continue to keep us updated, and I am truly hugging you in my heart, in my soul, in my being, like always, and I pray you feel it. I want to thank you for your prayers for my daddy. I'm hoping and praying I can ask you two questions. I'll try to say them quickly with the help of God if it's his will. I called you on September 24th, 2018. My daddy, he had lung cancer, stage 4. He didn't smoke, but my mom died of the same cancer. He died on January 31st. Of this year, and I didn't know he was with the Lord and with my mom, and I'm so happy for him and all my loved ones. The pain is so palpable. He means everything to me. I live with him alone. He's my bestest friend ever, and the pain. I know you understand as you have lost your mom and your dad, and I called you, like I said, on September 24th, and my dad designed a tattoo for me. I wasn't able to get it yet, and I asked for your favorite scripture verse, and you said it was 1 Timothy 4:16. One of my questions is that I wanted to ask you what the scripture verse means to you personally, to your heart. So when I get the tattoo and people ask, my hope and prayer is that it will draw others to your heart and to be drawn to listen to the broadcast so they can have their questions answered and hopefully with the help of God lead them to Christ.
Right.
And then also, I have another question, but I don't know if you want me to ask that or maybe answer this one first.
Well, yeah, let me say that one of my favorite passages, I love 1 Timothy 4:16, but I also love Proverbs chapter 3. It's something that I quote frequently. I typically quote verses 1 through 18. But there's so many parts of it that I love. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your body and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord from your wealth and the first of all your produce, so that your barns may be filled with plenty and your vats overflow with new wine. I also love the verse that says, my son, do not reject the discipline of the Lord or loathe his reproof, for whom the Lord loves, he reproves, even as a father the son in whom he delights. Don, I am unfortunately coming up to a hard break. I deeply appreciate your sentiments, and I'm truly sorry for the loss of your mother and your father. As you mentioned, I've lost my mother and my father as well. But absent from the body, present with the Lord. And so we will be reunited in paradise, and that is the hope of glory that sustains us as we go through the travails of this life. Number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. We'll be right back with more answers to your questions.
The resurrection of Jesus Christ is the greatest feat in the annals of recorded history. But resurrection deniers are deceiving millions with the story that it's a gargantuan fraud. That's why we want to send you Hank's book, The Third Day, in appreciation for your gift of ministry support today. By the last page, you will have encountered all the evidence necessary to show not only that Christ's resurrection is an immutable fact, but that your own resurrection is just as certain. Request your copy today by calling 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org. Thank you. Stay tuned. Hank Hanegraaff will return in a moment to answer more questions. Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In the Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order the Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. The Christian Research Journal's primary commitment is to contend earnestly for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints. In keeping with this commitment, the journal's mission is both evangelistic and pastoral, furthering the proclamation and defense of the historic gospel of Jesus Christ, and helping his followers distinguish between essential Christian doctrine and doctrine that is peripheral, aberrant, or heretical. In an age of subjectivism and moral relativism, may Christians ground their faith and values in the objective, reliable testimony of Holy Scripture. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today. Call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. That's equip.org.
Now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. And do remember our number to dial to get your questions answered, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Bob in Lombard, Illinois. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Hey, I was stumped by a question my grandson asked me, and I checked with several pastors, and none of them could clearly give me an answer. And the question is, when Lazarus was dead, when he was raised from the from being dead, where was he during that time? Because he can't be in heaven and see God.
Well, yes, actually, you know, the Bible teaches us that we have life in the present, but there's life after life, and then there's life after life after life, meaning that you have a good example that that what happened with Lazarus in Luke chapter 16 is that he's conscious in the presence of God. The Apostle Paul described it as being away from the body and at home with the Lord in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Disembodied, he no longer experienced awareness, in other words, extension in space, but his awareness was greatly intensified. So you can justly say that Lazarus was experiencing life after life. Now, there will be a time when you will experience the soul in the presence of the Lord, or the non-physical aspect of our humanity in the presence of the Lord, will return to a glorified body, as described in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then that body-soul unity will arise immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. And we will forever live in a renewed universe in resurrected bodies. In Romans chapter 8, Paul describes the universe now as groaning in travail, but then being liberated from bondage to decay. So there is an intermediate state, and that is where all those who have died. I was talking to a previous caller about my mother and father being in the presence of the Lord. Well, that's where they are. They're in the presence of the Lord. They're part of that great cloud of witnesses described in Hebrews chapter 12. They are enjoying the presence of one another and the presence of the Lord, and one day they will be resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible, meaning that their body, now separated from the soul, will be resurrected, and the soul will be returned to that resurrected body.
But that's like a state of limbo almost, because I thought to be absent from the body, present with the Lord, okay, if that's true, then you see God, and Lazarus can't see God and come back alive.
Well, actually, the Bible says, well, Lazarus doesn't. Oh, I see. You're talking about a different Lazarus. I was talking about Lazarus in Luke chapter 16, and you're talking about the Lazarus that was resurrected by Jesus Christ after he was 4 days in the grave.
Right.
Yeah.
Where was he then?
Well, absent from the body, present with the Lord. This is a non-normative kind of a situation. Where he dies, he legitimately is dead. So there's a separation between the non-corporeal aspect of his humanity and the corporeal aspect of his humanity, the physical and the non-physical. And when Jesus resurrects him, he is now again a body-soul unity, and he is awaiting that temporal state, which he is now enjoying. In other words, now he is truly absent from the body, present with the Lord, because he truly died in the eternal sense, and he will truly be resurrected in the eternal sense.
Right, but my thing is, if you die, you're in the presence of the Lord.
That's correct.
So you see God.
Yes, you do. Now remember, God is not visible. Jesus, however, is God, and Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, and he is forever Theanthropos, the God-man. So yes, you are in the presence of the Lord, but you're also in the presence of those who have gone on before.
But then Lazarus, and that being raised from the dead, you know, after he's been in heaven, I've never heard of anyone ever coming back from heaven alive.
Well, you certainly have the precedent with Lazarus, And these are not the only examples that are alluded to in Scripture, Lazarus and Jesus Christ himself, but there are others that are alluded to in Scripture as well. They are non-normative, but nonetheless, there's no question that if you die as Lazarus died, this was not a mere resuscitation. This was an actual death where there was an actual separation of the body and the soul, and there was, again, a reunification of body and soul, but that was a miracle. And miracles, by definition, are non-normative.
Right. But my thing is, he saw Jesus then.
Yes, that is correct. That is what I'm saying. Yes.
But he didn't see God himself.
Well, Jesus is God. That's why,
right,
I said he is the image of the invisible God.
Okay, so then God. He saw him. But I've always been told that you cannot see God and live.
Well, there is this is a distinction that is made in many different cases. It's a distinction between the ineffable God and the immanent God. In other words, it is true that we can never know God in his essence. Even in eternity, we will learn and grow and develop, but never fully exhaust the essence of God. But God did become immanent, and he did through the incarnation of Jesus Christ. So this is an antinomy, a tension that we hold. On the one hand, we can experience God. On the other hand, we cannot experience God. And we hold those two in tension, just as we hold in tension something that we cannot explain, the fact that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. That's something we believe because it is taught to us in Scripture, but we cannot fully comprehend, just as we cannot fully comprehend the Trinity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I just can't understand how he could die, go to heaven, see God or Jesus.
It was a miracle, you know, and I think you have to emphasize the fact that this is a miracle.
And then come back to life.
Well, again, it is a miracle, and there are miracles like that, and miracles are necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live. There has to be supernatural intervention. Even the creation of the world is a supernatural intervention of God. So the universe itself demands miracles, such as the incarnation and such as the resurrection of Lazarus.
Mm-hmm. So then he actually saw Jesus.
Yes, he did. God. Yes, he did. And he also saw those who had gone on before, that great cloud of witnesses. But again, it is a miracle. It's non-normative. This is not the natural order of things. The natural order of things is the death rate is one per person. We all experience that. When we do, prior to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, we're absent from the body, present with the Lord. When Jesus Christ appears, then something different happens. Then those who are in the graves will come out, as 1 Thessalonians 4 makes plain, and we who are alive will be caught up together with them in the air, and so we'll be with the Lord forever. So if you are still alive when Jesus appears a second time, you'll be translated from the mortal to the immortal, which is, in a sense, a death and a resurrection as well. Very much like the caterpillar that makes a chrysalis, and out of the chrysalis comes the butterfly. It's the same physically, but different organizationally.
So what should I tell my grandson?
Well, tell your grandson about miracles and that miracles are necessary in order to make sense of the universe in which we live.
That he did go to heaven and see God, and he did come back, but that was a miracle.
Yes, exactly. Yes, that's exactly right.
One other question, maybe you can help me, and this is a personal, very, very personal. I'm like in stage 4 of heart failure, and I'm going to be dying soon. I know this. There's nothing more they can do. What should my thoughts be?
Well, peace in the midst of the storm. I have stage 4 cancer, mantle cell lymphoma. I don't think the Lord's done with me yet, and I'm going to go through an allogeneic transplant in the near future, which is fairly curative, but I'm very much at peace with my circumstances. You know, the Bible says all the days ordained for us are written in his book before one of them came to be. So the one who created us, the one who knit us together in our mother's womb, has every detail of our lives under
Is
his control.
Is that a verse or something?
Yes. You may want to actually not read the verse, but the entirety of Psalm 139. It is absolutely beautiful. And by the way, maybe jot this down as well. I read Psalm 39 as well, two of my favorite psalms, 139 and 39.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because all of a sudden, you know, you start doubting your salvation and all these other doubts and everything. And
well,
you know,
the Lord can never...
I want to be going strong.
Well, you will. I mean, just if you are His and He is yours, you will experience His promise that you too will be resurrected from the dead, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. Have faith in God. His words are always true. And if you hold on to His words, you can have peace in the midst of the storm. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Thank you for all of you who stand shoulder to shoulder with me in the battle for life and truth. So long.
Thanks for tuning in to the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Our website, equip.org, has an abundance of resources to sharpen your discernment skills and help you grow in life and truth. We provide books, videos, and informative articles. You can also listen to the broadcast live, download archived programs, get answers to pressing Bible questions, follow our blog, or connect with us via social media. All this and more at equip.org. Again, the address is equip.org. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. When you need answers about the Bible and the intersection of our faith and culture, you turn to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and the Christian Research Institute. But did you know we're entirely supported by God's provision through friends like you? In appreciation for your gift of ministry support today, we'll send you Hank's book, The Third Day, a convincing case study on the most important truth of Christianity, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Johnny Erickson Tada has said, Hank leaves no stone unturned, thoroughly portraying the resurrection as our grand hope, the glorious springboard from which we all dive into eternity. Strengthen your defense of the resurrection and increase your confidence in your own eternal future. Call 888-7000-CRI or visit equip.org now.